Good morning. I ever told you really look wonderful? You all look outstanding. You are precious and priceless. If you ever think you can make it on your own, though, just look to the cross. You can't make it on your own. But if you ever think you're not worth much, just look to the cross, because you're priceless. You're infinitely valuable to our Heavenly Father, because He sacrificed the infinite relationship with His own Son. He put that on the line so that He could be close to us. Because that's what fathers do. Fathers have that kind of love. A father will die for his family. A father will die for his wife. Of course, you can take that not quite the right way. You know about the woman who said to her husband, "You always say you die for me, honey, but you never do." But it is part of a man's honor. It is part of a man's basic, fundamental perspective of responsibility that he's going to put his family before him. So happy Father's Day, dads. You know the name William Jackson Smart? I didn't either. William Jackson Smart was a Civil War soldier, and the sad part of his story is that at the birth of his sixth child, his wife died. And William Smart raised all six of his children as a single dad. And his daughter, Sonora, said that somebody ought to pay attention to that. And not 2 years after Mother's Day was started, Sonora started the movement for Father's Day, because dads like that deserve to be appreciated. So you can thank, at least the beginning of it, you can thank William Smart and the sacrificial dedication that he made to raising his six children alone because he'd lost his wife. Our Heavenly Father, for some reason, calls Himself Father. It's hard to find the sense of gender with God. You can argue He's without gender, except that He calls Himself He. And at that, we sit up and take notice. And men take notice, and women take notice that God has called Himself He and Father, even though He made us in His image and makes us male and female. He maintains the title Father. So I hope today to learn from the title Father about fathers. Learn from our Father about our fathers. Because dads are in a place more powerful than we, I think, understand, with a responsibility a lot broader than we know. We are in a crisis right now. We are indeed in a gender crisis. If you want to look backwards, hundreds of years of lousy Bible teaching, of poor application of Scripture in the lives of people, in the lives of churches, in society and countries, provided a weakness and a twisted understanding about who God was, about what the church was or is, and about what families are. The church became powerful in a governmental sense, and the church started to throw its weight around in all the wrong ways, trying to legislate church doctrine as country doctrine and country law, the law of countries and of people's lives. And the church got terribly distorted and twisted to the point where by the 1700s, 1800s, and 1900s, people didn't trust the church anymore, fundamentally didn't trust the church. And in the middle 1800s, intellectuals, universities, the educated were leaving their faith in droves. It was out of the 1800s that came the sharp criticisms of trust in Scripture, the sharp criticisms of trust in church at all. Out of the 1800s came the movement back to the basics. Let's get out of all these layers of church hierarchy and get back to simple Christianity, the way the Bible describes it. But the damage had already been done, and families and people and societies no longer fundamentally trusted Scripture. Women everywhere were mistreated, in the church, out of the church, in societies. Women weren't held up and honored and taken care of as God teaches us to do. Men have been weakened and belittled and no longer were trusted in the or had the examples in their own relationships of how to act like men. Families got pulled apart. Our society is confused. And now today, personal identity is whatever. So, what we have in our present day is family. The identity of what family is weak and misunderstood. Women are still mistreated. We went through all that looking for women's rights, looking for women's strength, looking for women to be protected, and we still objectify women, we still mistreat women, we still set women aside as if they're unimportant. By weakening men, we have weakened God's fundamental protection for women, men of honor, men of integrity. Marriage is challenged and changed. Marriage is whatever two people want it to be, whatever two people. Children have become empowered by the law and by precedent, and children are not in a place where they can have power and control over things, and empowered children end up being confused. Men lack the position that God intended them to have, and even in that position, they lack confidence. The church is set aside to the sidelines. Church isn't central to many people, and Christ is used as a convenience. When you need him, you can call on him, but you don't need him all that much for most people. Obviously, horrible bad news. Bad news, but let's get off the bad news, because there's good news. What's the good news? What's the good news? Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross for us and was resurrected and gives us victory. That's the good news. But we still have God's design. We have God's design. And within the gospel, within Christ and the great good news, how about that, the great good news? We have a specific design by God, because God still reigns, and Christ is still Lord, and his word is still truth, and his church is still his kingdom on earth. Those things are unshakable. And so even in that environment of terrible news, of bad news, of the church being sidelined and families being misunderstood and Jesus not being listened to as Lord, he still is Lord, and his word still is truth, and his church is his kingdom on earth. And if we acknowledge it, we can stand in that great strength. Families can still be run his way. A month ago, you know, we talked about appreciating moms and honoring moms and loving moms in the powerful, magnificent place that God has put women and mothers in our society. But today we want to look at dads. We want to look at fathers, at what God does with fathers and how fathers fit into this design. If you want to destroy a society, weaken its men. Get its men offline. Get them to lose their moral center. Get the men to lose their moral integrity. Get the men to set aside their honor and responsibility, and everything decays. So today we're going to look at centering men in our families, in the church, in our lives. Because fathers have a particular position. Fathers have a particular set of responsibilities with God, and I just want to look at a few of those today, the few of the key ones. A father leads. A father leads. Proverbs 40, verse 7. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. You know the word, meaning of the word integrity? The meaning of the word integrity. It's a physics term, it's a materials term, it's an engineer's term. If a piece of structure has integrity, you think of a metal beam, a steel beam. If it has integrity, then it's solid all the way through. There are no weak points in it. There's no air gaps down inside that you can't see. There's no mixture of other alloys in there that are going to weaken its strength. An item with integrity is solid and consistent through its length. And a man with integrity is solid and consistent through his length. Now, obviously, all of us are flawed. All of us are weak. All of us sin. No man can claim not to sin. But a man walking with Christ at least can continue to look at his standard and continue to be reminded and continue to have a fixed place to correct his own walk. A righteous man, Hebrews 27, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons. Because those children are going to follow their father. All the way through, solid. A father is a leader. A father is a leader, regardless of whether he takes that position to in heart or not, regardless of whether he's active as a leader or passive as a leader. He's going to lead his children one direction or another because God has put him in a position of a leader. Over and over and over, studies show that children follow the example of their father. Their mother might be many times more involved in their lives in the realm of time and influence and connection. But when children grow up, they tend to go the direction of their father. They can tend to follow the example of his life. Children will naturally follow him wherever he goes. You belittle a father, and you hurt everyone involved in his life. You belittle a man, you encourage a man, and you're lifting up everyone around him in his life. God has given him a place of headship. Man is head in the marriage relationship, and his heart is a heart of honor and responsibility. Number two, a father teaches. In fact, some of us guys don't know when to shut up. We just, oh wow, yeah, I remember when I was a kid, and they'll start to tell us, oh, did you know how that fish actually moves? You know, when they're born, and he'll tell stories after story. He loves to teach. He loves to teach the things he knows about. While the children end up rolling their eyes and looking for ways that they can slide away, because here comes another one of Dad's stories. All that goes on, but as dads, we love to teach. God has put it into our hearts. Isaac read for us a portion of Deuteronomy, but let me give you this for today. Sometime today, if you can't do it as a family, in a sit-down reading, do it as a couple, husband and wife. If you can't do it as a couple, do it as an individual. But read the chapter. Read Deuteronomy 6. Because the entire chapter is the placement of God in his central position, and then a father making that a part of his family's life, and then explaining it to his children as to why and how he's made this choice of faith and walk part of his family's life. Read the chapter of Deuteronomy 6 and take note of a father leading and teaching his children. Proverbs 4, hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good teaching. Do not forsake my law. And 22:6, of course, you know this one. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the measurement of a father, because a dad is constantly training his child, and as the proverb says, he's not likely to turn from it when he grows older. Fathers love to show their knowledge. He teaches his children every day, at home, at work, in their presence, in their absence, or him in their absence, or they in his absence. He's teaching his children every day. No matter what school type, in a more formal educational setting, no matter what schooling you choose for your children, you cannot give away the responsibility of you dads being the teacher of your children. You can certainly, and there's some good schools around in every direction, of every type and shape, but just because some school teaches your child a structured set of courses, it's still between you and your Heavenly Father, your responsibility to teach your children. A father provides. A father provides. You know, in Matthew 7, Jesus says it this way, what man is there among you if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Really? Would a father ever give his hungry child a rock to eat? Jesus says that's so obvious and so natural. Everybody knows that. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. And then he gives us this backhanded compliment. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? No class or set of classes we give could be equal to God's teaching on these subjects. So let me just say this, in the realm of parenting, since this is a direct comparison, Jesus gives us a direct comparison between an earthly father and our heavenly father. The best way to learn how to be a parent is to read scripture at how God treats us, how he treated Israel. God had high standards, has high standards, always has high standards for his people. He disciplines us lovingly and consistently. And when we fall, he takes us back. He takes us back. He takes us back. He makes sure that we always have a way to come back into his arms. Learn how to be a parent from your heavenly father. A father provides. You know, in Genesis 2, Verse 15, the very first thing God told man to do was to take the garden, cultivate it, and keep it. This is before the fall. This is before Eve. Adam's all alone. And God has given him the garden, and fruit, we imagine, is hanging off the trees. Plenty to eat, but yet God didn't make Adam to be idle. He said, you have work to do, young man. I want you to cultivate this garden, and I want you to keep it. A man's sense of providing for his family is built deep into his character. It's fundamental that a man needs to work and that he takes honor in his working. Ladies, do not belittle your husband for being devoted to his work. Do not belittle his long hours and his hard work and his success at his job. obviously, you can be devoted to the wrong things. Any man can be devoted to the wrong things in this life. But honor him, appreciate him, thank him. God has put that work ethic deep into his character. Before there was any problem, the sweat of the brow came after the fall and is part of our punishment. But we were workers before then. We were cultivating before then. Men are natural workers and provided. It's the most natural way a man shows his love to his family, by working for them and serving them. From the very first, as I said, God gave that men the role to work. And in Colossians 3, he tells us, do our work as if Christ was our boss. Hold work high. Hold our performance high. Cheerfully work as if you were serving Jesus at your job or in your service. A father disciplines and corrects. In Proverbs 3, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord or detest his correction. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father does the son in whom he delights. We're taught very early in our lives from our fathers that there is acceptable behavior and there's unacceptable behavior. You know Hebrews 12, and I'll let you read 5 through 11 on your own. The fact that that God corrects those he loves, and our earthly father corrects those he loves. Obviously, dads, your hand of correction should never be abusive, but it should be strong. It should be consistent. It should be clear. And that consistency is one of the toughest things out there. It is so hard to be consistent. Carol and I talk about how to be consistent with one another in our discipline, but I have a hard time being consistent with myself, much less working it out with another human that I'm married to. But a father disciplines, and he disciplines with love, and he disciplines consistently. And I've got the wrong notes on this slide, but that's okay. We'll skip that. You got the point. Next, a father protects. I don't know how that happened. A father protects. In Proverbs 14, we learn that the fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. His children will have a place of refuge. With a strong dad, there is protection for the children and for the family. Men are natural protectors. Men take any threat at their family as a threat deeper than to their own life. It is built into a man's honor code to protect his family. Ephesians 6 defines the enemy clearly as the evil around us. You know, we'll jump up quickly if somebody at a store or somebody in our neighborhood or somebody in the community starts yelling at our children or yelling at a member of our family. But it's actually Satan is the real enemy for our families. The evil in Satan's armies is the real threat for our families. Dads need to be aware of how deadly that is, and to protect our families from the evil that comes from their twisting of all of those, that mess and those lies in our society. Turn off the TV, shut down the computers, filter out the music so that only the good stuff or the decent stuff gets through. You be the protectors of your children. You see, that's why in our own homes, we can have this victory. Ephesians 6 puts us in the position of being a soldier, but with Christ, there is always victory. And finally, A father leaves a legacy. A father leaves a legacy. No greater joy. I have no greater joy. I have no greater joy. I, Robert, have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. 3 John, verse 4. And my grandchildren being brought up in the Lord, I have peace. The legacy a man of God leaves or can leave brings a power to the generations that multiplies his life. We're told our children are arrows in our hands, and our quiver, or the blessing is that our quiver would be full of them. And as a man reaches into his quiver and fires off his children out into years where he'll never live, he's changing thousands of lives by influencing and leading his children in the Lord. This is stuff much more powerful than we can imagine. Use today to build the future. Think 50 years ahead. Think 50 years from now. Who's going to be the adults? Who's going to hold on to the doctrine? Who's going to be protecting families then? What kind of faith will they have? What kind of heart will they have? And what am I doing now to put my time into the precious lives of the children around me, that those children can be secure? Let me tell you, dads, two things, two messages, one for sons and one for daughters. Let me tell you a fundamental message to get to them. Sons, dads, your message to your sons is you can do it. You can do it. You and the Lord can do it. In other words, in you, you can have the character to never quit. You can have the honor to tell the truth and work hard. You can have the faith to walk in Christ. You can do it, son. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. Get out there and conquer. You can do it. The message to the daughters, you're worth it. You're precious. You're priceless. Don't let anybody drag down your value. Don't let any young man misuse you. Know that you're worth waiting for, you're worth sacrificing for, you're worth protecting. You're worth it. Dad, you give that message to your children. No voice will be louder, clearer, or stronger in their lives than your message of how precious they are. The world lives very here and now. The world wants everything done right now. I want my satisfaction now. I want my accomplishments done now. I want my victory now. I want everything now. We cannot live that way. We cannot live that way. We have to be thinking ahead, thinking down the road, and sacrificing in our lives so that our children can have that platform, so they can be strong and victorious in Christ in their decades of life. Okay, a little bit of practical of how to encourage the man in your life. This is quick. Acknowledge his role from God. Your husband, your father, your friend has an incredible responsibility in the Lord, and not many people give him credit for the weight that he's carrying. He is carrying a tremendous amount on his shoulders. He's carrying a lot on his shoulders, and you acknowledge that. Go back to the Lord and see how many times he's called head. See how many times he's given the responsibility to teach. See how many times he's given the responsibility to care and protect. You acknowledge what God has done in his life. You appreciate his heart and character. Tell him how honorable he is in your eyes. Tell him how much you respect him. Tell him why you respect him. Tell him of his strong heart that you see coming out in his actions, and praise his character to others. Admire his strength and his skills. Every man has them. Every man has strengths and skills. Even if he misuses them, He has strengths and skills. You know, the ability of a man to be able to focus on one task and carry it through is powerful with men. We make fun of men being single task, but that is an extremely useful skill, that one thing can be done extremely well and carried on and carried on and carried on and carried on. Our society has belittled things like that in a man's life, but God has put it there for a reason, and we are very, very blessed by it. Ask for his help and advice. All the jokes about husbands, you're not supposed to give your wife advice, just shut up and listen. Well, ladies, ask him for his advice. You are married to an analyst. You are married to a guy who likes to dissect a problem and come up with a solution. Men are good at that, or tend to be. I'm not talking about every man, of course, and all these things. So therefore, ask him and take his advice. Get out of the way and let him lead. God has put him there to analyze and find solutions and affirm him with words and actions. What a great set of men we have here in this congregation. They need your affirmation. They need your appreciation. They need you to understand how much they get beat up and clobbered by the world around them. We need to be a congregation where men are treated and appreciated like men, where men can masculinity is honored and never belittled, because God has made these men to have position of leadership in his home and in his church, in his society, everywhere. So affirm them and thank your Heavenly Father for your earthly fathers. Thank you so much for your attention just now. And I pray that we can understand what God has done with both men and women's lives, and how he has put different skill sets in each one of them, that we never dishonor or disrespect women or men, but we appreciate the magnificent strengths, the skills, the talents, the sensitivities that each one has, and we appreciate and use them. Never belittle, never belittle. At this point, if there's any here who wish to be baptized into Christ on that cross, that victorious gospel we talked about a while ago, is your pathway back to your Heavenly Father. He's your Father, and he loves you, and he wants you to come home. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we'll help you with that today. If you have any other needs that we can help you with, we'd love to help you with that today. Please come forward while we stand and sing.